clearly they need to make some moves. For me, and I know they're not going to do this because we were told that they don't like, or whatever, not that they don't like, but they're not interested in Nolan Arenado, but that would be the guy that I would look to go out there and get. I want a little bit of balance at third base, and it seems appealing to go after Suarez, who's lighting the league up with all the home runs. It seems appealing about McMahon, who could play great defense and also have a little bit of pop. I don't want the strikeouts in the lineup. Yankees don't need the pop. They have plenty of pop up and down that lineup. They need a solid big league ball player. That's what Arenado is. He could play defense and put the bat on the ball. Forget about even just the average. I just want the ball in play. That's why I'm okay with Peraza. I know Peraza can't hit at the major league level.
Yeah.
So I'll take a little bit less defensively, or if you could get Arenado, still you're doing well. I know McMahon good defensively, but he's a strikeout machine.
Strikes out a ton. We hit that yesterday.
Yeah, I don't want that. So I still, while I'm happy with the moves the Yankees have made, and while it is refreshing, I still don't trust that Brian Cashman is going to go out there and make the proper move necessary, where I think he's too much into the launch angle, the all-or-nothing type player.
I don't think that's fair to Cash, and I've been a critic of Brian Cashman, as everybody knows. But Brian Cashman, you know, last year delivered Jazz Chisholm.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's also a high strikeout guy. Or I know he hasn't been as of late.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But I think that the trade deadline acumen and resume of Brian Cashman is in some ways almost better than the offseason stuff. Like, he's done some of his best work now. So I think he's going to be aggressive. I think they're going for multiple spots. He told us so. And I'm with you on the contact rate at third base. Like, just give me somebody who can catch the ball and somebody who's got a professional a presence, and that would really enhance this Yankee lineup. I would love to see that.
Like a Brocious type, just to throw back a name that Yankee fans love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't. I don't need... Suarez is a star right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you don't want to turn away stars, but I think star chasing has gotten the Yankees in trouble and can get teams in trouble. They don't need that. Look at their freaking lineup right now. Their lineup right now is solid. Lefty-righty balance. They've got some speed. They've got a little bit of contact in there. They certainly have got some power. Like, I get it. Yeah, okay, the more the merrier. But I want a better ball player. I love the defense of Peraza at third. So if I could get a little bit of an uptick,
mm-hmm.
somebody's going to put the bat on the ball. Like, Peraza's hitting under 200.
Oh, he's just very soft.
So give me somebody that can hit 250, be a professional, and play defense. That's Nolan Arenado.
Well, it is. And he's not making a ton of money. Matter of fact, he's right around the same neighborhood, I believe, as McMahon. So it's kind of... Actually, I think that... I think Arenado's, we did this yesterday, he's making $1 million less in the 2 years remaining on the deal. So I wanted it to happen in the offseason, so I'd be down for that now as well. Let me ask you this. So we're talking about the Dominguez, not even renaissance, just elevation, okay? We're talking about what Jazz has been doing, mm-hmm. and obviously Judge, and the issues with the team too. I want to hear, and then I got some quotes from a scout that I want to read you. I want to hear your thoughts on the possibility of Volpe, not only the rest of this season, forget about his career, this season, not just stabilizing and stop playing sloppy, but actually playing well.
Yeah, I am with Cashman that I still believe in him. I just, my eyes are telling me that he still could be such a dangerous offensive player. The defense stuff has been bad, but I think you'll live with that. Like, he'll be all right defensively. You'll live with him defensively. He'll get better. He's not going to... Now, clutch moments, I mean, that's something we're going to find out in the postseason. But I wouldn't be worried about that, thinking, oh, he's going to be a problem defensively, even though he has been at certain times. So the offense is the issue. And if you bat him ninth, eighth or ninth in the lineup... Now you're not relying on him to be that guy, and maybe you give him some room to grow where you know he's got pop, you know he's had success before.
Mm-hmm.
I would not give up on Volpe. I would figure out maybe a different way to develop him.
How do you do that midseason?
Well, I mean...
That's almost impossible.
I know. They're just
that's an offseason thing.
They're letting him swim. As I said last week, he needs swimmies. Like, they put him in the deep end of the pool. He's sinking. You got to throw him some swimmies here. So it's a problem with Anthony Volpe, but I do think it's one that... I would not give up on Anthony Volpe.
No.
Or the hope that he could be still a high-impact player. I don't want to say star. High-impact player.
And so that's where you've kind of modified a little bit. It's no longer star. It's the high-impact, which I get. I mean, listen, it's been 2.5 years. You've got to modify. If people thought he's going to be a superstar, that's just not the right read right now. I'm with you. I think there's a lot left, and I think that there's a lot more that he's going to eventually show. The problem, though, like if they don't get a third baseman and they did what you think that they should do, and I don't mind him batting ninth at all, you can't have Peraza, Volpe. How was your left side of the infield if Volpe doesn't appreciably improve that offensive combination?
Because you have everybody else in that lineup. Look at the rest of the lineup.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't think they're going to go with Peraza every day. For now, yes, but I think they're going to get a third baseman. My concern is not getting the right third baseman. Like, Suarez would be great on paper. But they don't need that. They need a solid defender that's going to be a high-contact guy. That's what I think the Yankees need. Maybe run a little bit, but a high-contact guy, not be a strikeout machine, especially in the bottom of the order when you're going to have guys on in front of you to be able to drive in. One of my favorite things about Jazz last night was his ground-out RBI in the first inning.
That was nice.
I know he hit the two homers, but instead of him striking out and just moving on to the inning with only two runs scored, he tacked on that extra run with the ground out. Like, that's important. Those little things are important. The home runs, you know, they'll be there to a certain extent with him, but I'd rather, I want to see him put the ball in play more often, and that could lead to better things for the Yankees.
I'm going to read you the quote about Volpe from a scout, but I was thinking about this as well, real fast. So they definitely have things they need to fix. We've told you what they are. If I want to just take you around the diamond real quick. Goldschmidt, Jazz, Volpe, Peraza, that's Peraza.
Right.
We know who the catchers are. Obviously, now I'm going to put Dominguez aside for a moment, and I'm going to go just the combination or the trio, Judge and obviously Grisham and Bellinger. This is going to sound ludicrous, and it's going to get met with immediate resistance, but I would love the social media challenge because I don't know if we want to really do it on the air. That's the best defensive Yankee team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back that far, but I know this. It's by far the best Yankee defensive team that we've seen in a very long time, if not ever. And it's a tremendous defensive team, which I like. Now, the question is, would you rather that or a little bit lesser defense?
Lesser defense in Dominguez every single day.
Bingo.
100%. So bat and lead off every day the rest of the year.
So that's the only real issue now. And by the way, in the postseason or in meaningful regular season games here down the stretch, it's a simple fix.
Mm-hmm.
You have Dominguez lead off. He gets his 3-4 at bats. Your defensive replacement with Grisham. You get Grisham and Bellinger out there. You're locked and loaded.
I know.
There are no holes on that defense.
No.
That's what I want. Tightened up, pieces that fit everywhere. That should be the idea. Now, if you take Peraza out of the equation and you bring in a lesser defender, now you're losing a little bit there. You're losing a little bit in left field with Dominguez.
Shortstop's been unstable.
That's what I'm saying. Now, all
of
a sudden,
I know. It's a little different profile at that point.
Which maybe they're willing to sacrifice. I would not, because I think their offense, especially with Dominguez leading off, Judge, too. You know what the X factor has been? Bellinger.
Do you realize, so right now he's got a 14-game hit streak.
Yeah.
Do you realize he had a 15-game hit streak in May?
No, I didn't even realize that, honestly.
Yeah. I knew the other one. I didn't realize this one kind of crept up on me.
This one I was aware.
A 15 and a 14-game. The guy's a pro.
Yeah, he started out a little slow, but he's been the key behind Judge. Yeah, and then you throw in Dominguez as well. He's been the X factor. If Bellinger produces to this level, you know the defense, you know the speed. If he just hits solid, nobody's asking Juan Soto type offense.
No, you don't need it.
But just be Bellinger. Yeah. That's the difference maker in this lineup. So when you go Dominguez, Judge, Bellinger, the threat of Stanton, forget about that he just has two home runs or that he's always hurt, whatever. The threat of Giancarlo Stanton,
that's
a loaded, as loaded top four as you're going
to
see.
And not to mention Jazz is cooking.
Behind him, exactly. Wells behind him. You get Goldschmidt approving.
You know, Austin Wells on pace for 90 RBIs and 25 home runs. I wish the average was a bit higher, but you're not going to get outside of the catcher they saw last night.
Right.
You're not going to get a lot more, power production for the catcher spot. Did you hear Kay? I didn't even think about this in real time, but it was interesting. Were you watching the Yanks last night?
Yes.
I guess a little bit.
Yeah.
So did you hear Kay talk about the play with Soto, Lindor, and Bellinger? The great play.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't even think about this. If that ball was indeed trapped, Juan Soto would have been out at first base.
He threw him out anyway.
He never touched the base.
But
when you look at Goldschmidt catching the ball, it was right above his, right by his ear on his glove side as a righty. He catches the ball. And obviously Lindor is there, but Soto hadn't yet touched first base. He would have been out.
But did he realize that it
was? No, he didn't realize. I'm just saying it would have been a quirky, funky,
right,
basically all-time baseball, although there have been players get thrown out from left field at first base somehow, somewhat recently too, but you don't see that every day.
I think the catch part of that play is being a little bit overrated. It was a great play, but he played shallow, which allowed him to go down and get it. I think the throw part is what
I disagree. I see it the opposite.
To fire a laser like that from left field to first
base.
But
it was shallowish left. And I'm not
still,
trying to. I would have to think that thing flew there 90 plus miles an hour. No question.
That to me
92,
was the more
93.
I'm
just saying the sinking liner. To me, the sinking liner is off a lefty bat in left field. I mean, if you're asking me which one I'd rather take my chances with, I'd rather take a chance with a quick crow hop and have to throw it kind of far rather than the multiple elements of dealing with. I mean, that was my reaction, but I get why people would think it's the throw. Yeah. I got to read this. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so this is the scout. Randy Miller had this. This was a couple of days ago. I just stumbled upon it recently. Unnamed scout, veteran American League scout. So, quote, "I'm seeing a little man trying to hit like Aaron Judge, and that's not his game," the scout said. "He used to be gap to gap, but now he thinks he's a power source. You get away with that at Yankee Stadium sometimes, but he's striking out a ton, and maybe he's going to hit you 20 homers. But is that what you're really looking for? Now he can run. He can really run. Why not be a gap to gap hitter like he was and maybe hit 12 to 15 instead of trying to be a mini Aaron Judge?" And then he goes on to say, he's not a shortstop. He's a second baseman. I think because nobody's going to disagree with the swinging like Judge. That makes no sense. This maybe is a little debatable. Volpe's a second baseman. Again, not a shortstop, the scout warned. I think Volpe is an average defender at best. I think the arm's below average, but he's got good timing, so it's just enough. And I kind of see what he means there. I think Volpe's a better fit at second. I'm not trying to be negative. I like Volpe as a player. I love him as an individual. I just think the Yankees need a better shortstop. Now, that seems ominous right now for Anthony Volpe and, you know, the if train for all the people that didn't get on board over the years. If Lombard is the player and that they think, and I don't mean this year, you know, you might have a very easy solution where you punt Volpe to second, you might have a shortstop. Now, what does that do for Jazz Chisholm? I don't know. You're not going to put him back at third if you even re-sign him. Can you envision a future for Volpe with the Yankees, not at shortstop?
Yeah, I guess.
Can you?
But at that point, it would be a loss. If you're going to move on from Volpe at short, just move on from Volpe. Maybe they decide to trade him.
Unless you think he could be a good second baseman. He's still very controllable and still very cheap.
Yeah, but then if he fails at short, you made him your shortstop.
Yep.
If he fails at short, I personally would probably just move on at that point.
You think like the script is written and the fans and the kind of first round
status. Plus, I need to see how it
fits
at that point. Like you said, I wouldn't want to move on from Jazz right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
Jazz is a better second baseman than Volpe. So why would
he's
I
one of the best in the league.
That's what I'm saying. So why would I want to move Volpe to second and move Jazz and mess around with that? And you're not going to play Volpe at third because he's not a third baseman.
He doesn't have the arm for third base.
If you're worried about his arm, then he's not going to play third base. So if
can you make him a left fielder?
If he can't.
Down the road?
Why not just move on then at that point?
I don't want to move on. Man, I want to see him do well.
But what's the appeal if Volpe can't play short?
He's an athlete.
First thing I would rather see is him start to hit the way that the scout says, not like Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Hit the ball to right field, become more of a gap-to-gap hitter, get on base, wreak havoc there. Be a high average, high contact guy as opposed to the power. You don't need power from Anthony Volpe.
But that doesn't start with actually when the bat hits the ball. That's the approach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that, and we've had this a million ways sideways, but I don't know how you really rectify that midseason. That's a big course correction to kind of change things now. And I know he's a worker. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he's, I'm not saying he's not going to get going. I do think he's a lot better than this. But to think that he's going to be a completely different player the final 85 games, I don't know how you do it midseason. I really don't.